Welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Gemma Sill.
Morning. Well, that was fun. It was very good. Worship, absolutely awesome. I'm going to start where I plan to start, but it was very good worship. So I'm not quite sure where we're going. But never mind. It's all good. Thank you, Jesus. We are going to Matthew 26. Verse 39. Cool. I'm reading from the truth, so the words might be slightly different, but don't worry about that. It's all the same. This is when Jesus went to pray, and he took three disciples with him. And he left them to pray for him and to keep watch. And from verse 39, it says, Jesus went a little further by himself, fell to the ground on his face and prayed, My Father, please take this cup of suffering away from me, if this is at all possible. Yet I want your will above any desires of my own. And he continues, when he returned to the three disciples, he found them asleep. He says, could you not pray for me even for 1 hour? He asked Peter. Wake up and pray that you will not be overcome by temptation. Your spirit is willing, but your body is weak. I read this and I was like, okay. God, Jesus gave his life for us. That's awesome. But when I read this, I was like, actually, he went asking for the Father to take this cup of suffering away from him. He said, if it's all possible, take away. I don't want it. And he returned. And it was like he returned to his disciples and God was showing him it couldn't be possible for the Father to take it away from him. We're so weak without Jesus. We're so weak without the result of the Holy Spirit, which is why Jesus was to be sacrificed. But God was saying, look, this is my will. Look, can't you see they're asleep? They can't stay awake for 1 hour and pray and keep watch just for you. And so he asked them again to stay awake and not to be overcome by temptation. And he goes back. Jesus again went by himself and prayed, My Father, if it is not possible for this cup of suffering to be taken away. So he's seeing, okay, if it's not possible, if they're not capable, you know, if it's not possible, I simply resign myself to your will. I'm ready to drink from this cup. He was ready to do it. God was showing him that actually we're weak, we're desperate without Jesus. We can't handle it, we can't cope, we can't function, we're desperate. The Father was showing him this has to be the way, this is my will. I can't take the suffering from you because look at them, they just fall asleep. And he returned to the disciples again, and discovered they had fallen asleep. They had been unable to stay awake. And so he didn't even bother. He just went back. He didn't even bother waking them up. He saw that this had to happen. You know, the Father couldn't take this away from him. This was the way. And so he left them and went to pray for a third time. And the third time he went, he didn't even ask. He just submitted, it says, submitting himself again to his Father's will. He didn't even say, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. He just submitted completely because he saw, the Father showed him that it wasn't possible. It wasn't possible for that cup to be taken away. It wasn't possible. It was the Father's will. And it was something, when I saw this and read it, I was like, man, we are so desperate, so weak and so desperate without Jesus, without the Holy Spirit in us. Like, for an hour they couldn't stay awake. I mean, come on, if there's three of you, you at least motivate each other. But they fell asleep. For an hour they couldn't handle it. And again, he came and said, stay awake, pray. And again, they fell asleep. You know, I didn't blame Jesus for the third time just leaving him, you know, but God really had to show him. It wasn't something Jesus was like, yeah, come on, give me this cup of suffering, let me be sacrificed. You know, the father had to show him, this is my will, this is what has to happen. And it just astounded me how the third time Jesus didn't even ask if it was possible for it to be taken away. He just submitted himself. He just gave his entire self. You know, he wanted the father's will above his own. He wanted the father's desires above his own. He just didn't even bother asking. So from that, just seeing how desperate we are, just seeing how we need the Holy Spirit, just seeing how they couldn't stay awake, you know, it wasn't something Jesus wanted, it was something the Father showed him and said, look, it has to happen, okay? We're going backwards now to Matthew 28. No, sorry, Matthew 20. We're going backwards, and I went forwards. I can't read my numbers. Verse 28, that's where we were at. It says, For this is the example given you by the Son of Man. He came to serve others, not to be served by them. He came to sacrifice his life as a ransom to save many. And that's what I want to focus on. Jesus' ministry. You know, what Jesus came, sacrificed, but he came to serve. And as, you know, Christ is in us, as we are here as his ambassadors, as we are here, we're to serve too. And last week we had an awesome word on compassion. And I walked away and I was like, yeah, okay. Actually, I walked away thinking about vision from compassion. But, you know, Brian really spoke about compassion for others. And actually, we're here to serve others. We're here to be servants. And we can only do that if our eyes are opened wide enough to see others. We can't serve people. Yeah. If we're focused on ourselves. It's hard to serve people if you're focused on these four walls being the church. Yeah. You know, if it's great, and I'm not knocking it, fellowship is very important, and it's brilliant to be concerned for others in the church and to spend time with them and to pray with them and, you know, have unity there, and that's how you encourage and support each other. But our eyes need to be opened wide enough to see outside the church, to see our community, to see our region, to see our nation, to see the nations. You know, do we walk down the street and think, okay, what's happening in Scarborough? What's benefiting Scarborough? How can I pray to really see it get better? You know, what can I pray against to stop anything coming in that's destructing it? What, you know, how can I really aid and help my community? Do we do that for our region? Do we do that for our nation? You know, all these things, or are we concerned about what we're achieving every day, how we're serving God every day, what we're doing? You know, our eyes have to be opened wide enough if we want to serve others. If they're not, we're not going to see the people that need to be served. We're not going to see the opportunities to serve them. We're not going to see. We're just not going to see. We're going to be focused on ourselves and how we're achieving things and day by day what we're doing. And, you know, Jesus said, we're going to Mark now, so I'm just flicking about. You don't have to turn to all of them. But I don't want to quote from my own little, in Jem's version it says, that's not really very good. So, in Mark 10:45, it says, "For even I, the Son of Man, did not come to be served by others, but to serve them, and to give my life for them, in order that by my sacrifice many would be able to belong to God eternally." You know, Jesus came to not be served, and you'll think, "Wow, he's the Son of Man. Surely we should, you know, everyone should have been serving him." No, no, he came to serve. And he came, okay, terminology not great, but he served his butt off, you know. He really works every single day. He didn't, you know, worry about where his next meal was coming from. He didn't worry about his sleeping pattern. He actually served his butt off. And when he didn't serve, he was with his father. You know, he really, he didn't think about, oh, this has to be done today, so, oh, this is my part of my life, my little routine, so I'm going to do this. He just served and served and served. But the people, the father brought the people to him to serve, you know? And it's like, okay, we need to serve people, and that's our ministry, because that was Jesus' ministry. So we all might have specific roles, I don't know, you know, specific roles in the church, but primarily we're to serve. You know, a pastor is serving. You know, it's not a kushti, he's serving every single day. You know, Brian with Street Angels, you're serving the community, you're serving every single day. Joanne with Lampley, you are serving. You're not like, you don't have this wonderful life in church where you get up the, I don't know, leadership and you're like, woohoo, I can sit on my butt now, it's all done, I've worked through, I've cleaned toilets, I've served coffee, and now I'm at the top. You know, that's a servant of all. And I know, I just say it how it is, I'm sorry. But it does bug me. It really does, because I see the preach last week really hit me, and just the compassion. When I walk around the town, you see people in need. And no matter how uncomfortable it is, you're to serve them. Jesus did not say to the Father, "Oh, that's a little bit scary, that's out of my comfort zone, I ain't going to do it." You know, he never once said that. He worked out of obedience. But Jesus had the confidence. He had the confidence to work out that obedience because of his relationship with the Father. We have the confidence, the security, even the joy. We have that confidence to work out exactly what the Father asks of us. It is there. It is available to us. It is there for our taking. But sometimes we don't take it. Sometimes we get a bit like, ooh, it's easier to say no. It's easier to back down a little bit. It's easier to be a bit like, ooh, that's a little bit scary. I've never done that before. But the confidence we have access to because we have a relationship with Jesus. And it's that relationship that really drives us to serve. It's that relationship that gives us the ability to serve. It's that relationship that means whatever we ask for in his name will be given. Amen. It's that relationship that means whatever we speak and proclaim over this town, it will come to being, it will happen. It's that relationship from the Father that gives us the confidence to say, I declare prosperity over Scarborough. I declare healing. This will be a healing town. I declare no sickness. I declare jobs and jobs in abundance. You know, it gives us that security that as we speak it out, as we declare, as we proclaim, as we really state his truth, that we know it's going to happen. If you see someone on the street and they're in real need, you know that as you walk up to them and lay hands and pray, it's going to happen. Because of the relationship you have with the Father. Because it is coming from him through you. Because you were doing only what you see him do. Because you were saying only what you hear him say. Because you were doing those things, it will happen. And it gives you the confidence and the desire to want to. Because it's his will. Because it's his heart. Because he's saying, yes, I want my kingdom here on this earth. And I'm not following any of my notes. And I have no idea where I am. Praise the Lord. But it is because of that relationship that he really dwells in you and asks you to outwork what he's put in you. It's because of that relationship. It really sits in you and you can't run away from it. You can't ignore it. Even if, you know, you disobey a few times. He soon keeps going. He's like, oi, I did ask you. And oi, if you do it, I will be there. And I'll make sure it happens. Because remember, it's not us. We can't do anything of our own. You know, it's all him. And it has to be all him. So to serve others, we are going to try and go back to it. To serve others, you know, you can practically do things for them. You can be praying, you can be speaking over their lives, you can be spending time with people. You know, you can be serving them, that's great. And that is fantastic and that's important. But Jesus' ultimate kind of service was his sacrifice, was his, you know, as soon as he came, he laid down his life and said, my life is not my own. And the Father brought people, you know, he asked Jesus to, you know, the amount of miracles. You know, as soon as he was here, he was serving and he was loving upon people. His ultimate service was that sacrifice on the cross, was to give his life physically so that many could have access to the kingdom of God, so that many could live with God for eternity, so that many could come into his kingdom, you know, to give his life. You know, to give my life for them in order that by my sacrifice many would be able to belong to God eternally. Our lives aren't our own. If we've given our lives to Jesus, they belong there. You know? There's no kind of, I give my life, oh, I take it back, I give it to you, I take it back, I give it, I take. You know, there's none of that. You either give it or you don't. And you either give it completely or you don't. And if you haven't given it completely, you know you haven't given it completely, because things aren't easy. But if you've given it completely, there's such an, you know, I'm not saying it becomes this magic easy life, but there's an ease in things, there's a peace in things. Even when things are rubbish or things are coming against you, there is that confidence that it's okay, we're going to get through it, because I've given my life completely to him. And whatever's coming at me really doesn't matter. It doesn't have a significance. It, you know, there's an ease, there's that peace and the confidence that you'll get through it and it's fine. Amen. And there is that peace that comes from Father. And there's just no need to worry or to get stressed or worked up about things. That's very true. There's no stress at all. Our marriage is well planned. It is in the hands of God. And he has done everything. He has. There hasn't been any major anything. There's been an ease. And even when we've sat and folded 200 order of services by ourselves, there's been a joy in it. So it's been okay. So it was fun. I couldn't staple either. And then I chopped and I went too close. I wasn't good at the jobs. But I tried very hard. And there was still a joy in the office. Indeed. I was just sent to my room to pack. It wasn't really helpful at all. Anyway. Yes, to give our lives is to do the Father's will above our own desires. And all I can think is this wasn't at all what I'd planned to talk on. But it is. It's to give our lives is to say my life no longer, it doesn't matter. It doesn't exist. My life is given to Jesus. My life is for the Father to work through me.
Yeah.
and to do his will. This morning I woke up and I was in quite a moment. I was like, God, I'm praying. And all I had in my head was, I want to see your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. But I was like, God, I'm not seeing it as I want to. I'm not seeing as much as I want. I'm not seeing, you know, I'm like, how do you get it? How do you get earth to be like heaven? How do you get it down here? I was like, I'm not seeing what I want to see. I want to see more. I want to see the salvations. I want to see the healings. I want to see the beautiful lives and people really happy in their lives and really excited and really wanting to live things out and really glorifying God in absolutely everything they do. And I was like, I'm not seeing that. I'm seeing people walk down the streets without a home to go to. I'm seeing people, you know, upset and distressed. I'm seeing people that are so trashed out of their heads, they haven't really got a clue what day it is. And I was like, it's not really heaven on earth. It's not really my idea and what was in my head and what I'm like, God, I want to see. And I was like, how do you get it? And then I was like, the place you say, your kingdom come, your will be done, is in the Lord's Prayer. That's where it says it. And I was like, okay, so you tell us to pray it, to speak it, to declare it. I was like, okay, we do that. I do that. Yeah, I'm like, come on, I want to see your will. I want to see heaven on earth. I want to see stuff done. And I was like, how did it work? Back in the day, you know, how Jesus saw loads. What did he do? How did it work for him? You know, how come people, you know, I've never seen anyone raised from the dead. Jesus saw people raised from the dead. I'm like, how did he see it? How come I'm not seeing it? I know, I'm only 26, I've got years to see it, but I get a little bit impatient. And I don't really know where I'm going with this, but, you know, people, God made, the Father brought people to Jesus. The Father brought things around him, brought situations around him. The Father did everything. Jesus just submitted. Jesus just had that relationship. Jesus just spent all of his time with the Father and prayed, but just completely spent time with his Father and had such a tangible relationship with him when he was on earth. It just really made me desire it more. It really made me desire the Father's heart, desire his will, desire what he had with Jesus. So I don't have any answers, by the way. Like, just speaking it. You know, it's what was on my heart, or what is on my heart, and what really grated on me this morning, and what I really wanted an amazing response from God about. I didn't get one, but I wanted it. But it's put something in me to desire a relationship with the Father more. It's put something in me to drive me and motivate me. It's put something in me that is saying, wow, I want to study more about the relationship Jesus had with the Father. I want to study, I want to figure it out, I want to know, I want, you know, I want to follow exactly how they were. I want that. So other than to pray for heaven on earth, it's about the only answer. But that's fine. It's very good. I'm just going to flip back. When Jesus served, he served well. He served very well.
Yeah.
And it says, in Mark 7 that everything Jesus did, Mark 7 somewhere, 37. Yes, everything he does well. He even enables the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Everything he does well. All of the time, he did things well. Because he was working for his Father. Because he was working out the will of the Father. He was working out the desires of the Father. So our relationship with the Father enables us with purpose. Purpose to serve. To serve each other. To serve our community, to serve our nation, to serve our region. We are to serve, and we are to serve well. We are to serve with everything we are and everything we have. It gives us confidence and joy to serve. Even if something's a bit scary, or we're not used to something, the relationship we have with the Father gives us the confidence to serve. It says in, let's go to John. We like John. Everything's in John. It says in John 20:29. It says, he tells me what to say, for he is always with me. He never leaves me, because I always do what pleases him. The Father never leaves Jesus because he always does what pleases him. He's always doing his will. He's always doing what pleases him. You know, we have the gift of the Holy Spirit because of Jesus' sacrifice. If we maintain in the Father's will, if we keep going, never leaves us. It's always right there. Just nudging you away, saying, come on. Come on, come on. It'll be all right. I'm right here. Not on your own. Never leaves you. Not once. If your life's fully given over to him. If you've fully received his gift of the Holy Spirit. If there's a bit of, I want to give you my life, but I want to take a bit back, but I'll give you a little bit more, but I'll just have this little bit back. It's not quite full submission. It's not quite 100% laying down your life for Jesus. It's a brilliant start, but it has to be 100%. It has to be a heartfelt, I want to lay my whole entire life down. My life is no longer my own. I want to give everything I have so that I can be a witness for others, so that I can live a life that brings glory to God, so that I can witness and see others come into an eternal life with God. So that, you know, there's so many so that's, so many reasons why full submission, 100%, I lay my whole entire life down, I want to serve. Response to Jesus is important. And I love it. I went to get my hair cut the other day, and just to go off a little bit. And there was just myself in the salon with the lady who was cutting my hair. And it was a teeny tiny little puppy. It was very cute. But it only had three legs because it got one over. Anyway, did play with the puppy for quite a while. But as soon as I walked in there, we started speaking about church and about Jesus. And I was like, oh, hello. This is a little bit different. But so she washed my hair and did all that stuff and She was asking me what I did and about the church and what church I went to and all these kind of different things. And then we sat down and she was saying, but church is always really positive. And I was like, yeah. She was like, they always speak about really positive things. I was like, yeah. She was like, every time I go into church, I just want to cry. I was like, ah, really? That's interesting. Didn't say that, but, you know, my mind's like, ah, that's funny. And she was like, so I just don't want to go in because I'd go in every week and I'd just cry. I was like, ah. She was like, but then you get out into, and she said, but then you get out into the world and everyday people and they're always so negative. And I was like, yes, yes, they are. She was like, so how do you handle being really positive in what you do and everything being really positive in church? And then you go out and everyone's really negative. And I was like, but that's the really good thing. Because you are really positive and they are really negative and you come alongside the really negative people and you rub your positiveness on them. And I was like, but that's a really good thing. Because you can encourage and you can be positive when they're being negative and you can really lift them out. And she was like, oh, I see. And I was like, yeah, I know. So she still doesn't want to go to church because she will cry every Sunday. I was like, that's fine. It's okay to cry. It's usually God. It's always a good thing. But it just really made me laugh. Oh, it didn't make me laugh, actually. It was just a real, like, okay, God, this is really quite cool. Like, she's noticed there's a difference. She's noticed that there's negativity in people, and yet she knows that the church is really positive. So she was like, and I'm like, simple maths, you know? Of course it's going to be positive. If we all go out in our servantness ways and we're all positive against all of these negative people, you know, you only need to rub up against one person and you change them into positive. Positive's always better than negative because it's so much more exciting. And, you know, you just have to not jump around, but, you know, be positive. And what we have here is so, so precious. What we have inside of us is so, so precious. Then no one's going to take that. You know, no negative thing can overcome what's inside you. It says he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You know, it says that you'll overcome even to your faith. Like, you're always going to overcome the negative. You're always going to overcome the person next to you. This really doesn't join in with the rest of what I was saying. But, you know, you're always going to bring the positive into someone else's life. You're always going to be that light that goes in there. You know, you only half the time, you only have to smile, and people are like, they've smiled. And that's enough to shock someone. That's enough to shock a work colleague. Oh, they've smiled. They're happy. And you're like, yeah, but if you're smiling all the time, then it makes such a difference to people just to say hello. I was on Street Angels last night. It really bugs me when you say good evening and they don't say good evening back. It really drives me mad. I'm like, that is so rude. But I was like, you know what? I think half the time they're still wandering around the street and they're shocked that you said hello to them. Yeah. And I think they're just so shocked that someone would be nice enough to say hello that they don't even have time to respond because you've gone past them. I think that's what it is. They're so not used to it and they're so shocked. It drives me mad. I just want to run after them and say hello to me. But you know, I think we just want to say hello. I'm really trying here. You know, it's not easy to go out and say hello to everyone you see. It's a little bit random and a little bit, ooh, I don't know who you are and I'm saying hello to you. But, so it's a real effort, if you like. But it's easy because Jesus is doing it. But, yeah, it does drive me mad a bit when they don't say hello. But I really do think they're just so shocked that you said hello to them. And they're so not expecting it that it doesn't even compute in the head. They're like, and they're still walking, but you know, you can see it on half of their faces. They're like just looking and they're like, you said hello. It's really funny. Anyway, just rambling on now. That's really not good, is it? But it's fun. I think it's really good fun. So yeah, it was all about serving today. Jesus served. He was the greatest servant of all. We're to serve. Yeah. And I want to be a great servant. Yeah. I want that relationship with the Father that gives me the confidence to serve as Jesus did. That gives me the confidence, the purpose, the desire to serve as he did, the confidence to go and say, be healed in the name of Jesus, the confidence to say, you don't have to worry about debt, Jesus will clear it up, the confidence to just speak over situations, to speak over people's lives, and to know and expect it to be changed. And to go bouncing into them the following week and say, so has it changed? Because I'm expecting it to. Has it changed? Because, you know, the Father said, if I ask for anything in the name of Jesus, it will happen. So that's the confidence. But it's all from the relationship with the Father. And it's all from, it's got to come from him. It's got to be his will, his desires working through us. And then it all happens. Score. Winner, indeed. I've never done this before, but here we go, right out of the comfort zone. That 100% submission, I really want to see it. I want to see it in the whole community, the whole town, the whole nation. I want to see it everywhere, but I really want to see it throughout everyone in this room today. I don't really know. Do we twinkle or something? Maybe something. So we can have just a real submission and a real 100%. I'm not taking any of my life back or any kind of corner of any situation or any life. I'm completely giving it all to Jesus. God is my Father, the one and only one. He is there. I have no other idols. He is the one I serve. And just to really, to know that in our hearts, and any situations to completely hand over as well, and completely trust that he has absolutely everything. And we don't need to hold on to anything. We don't need to take anything back. We just need to, Lord, my life is not my own. Everything belongs to you. Don't really have a clue. Should we stand up? And
hallelujah. God's doing something special with us this August. We normally think of it as holiday time, but if you look back at what the Lord's been saying, he really is calling us. And if you're a visitor here today, he's got you here today because he wanted you to hear that message. But over the past 4 weeks here, God has, it's like been a time of consecration before God, and he's been preparing us. As we've had different people come and speak, I think we've really heard people's hearts. And when you hear people's hearts, you know that that's something that God is doing amongst us. And we have a bit of a reputation, a good one, for being a church of victory. And we are a church of victory. But we're also a church of determination to see the fulfillment of God's promises in our generation. And 4 weeks ago it was now, when we got back from Faith Camp, I spoke, but I cheated, really. I almost just repeated some of what Pastor Clive had said at camp. And for me, there was one key verse in that. For me, it was the key verse of camp, actually. And that was Jeremiah 29, verse 7, which says, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've carried you. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. And there was a seriousness in that, because when you pray for something, you can't just pray, you have to do. If you believe in something, that requires action. You know, this idea that you can just pray and not do anything is super spiritual territory. You know, there's always something to do. It doesn't always mean you will do the fulfillment of the prayer, but there's always some action to take. And then the following week, Nigel came along. And it was quite funny because I actually introduced him. I've never introduced him in this way before. I said, Dr. Fraser's going to come and speak to us. You remember? Not knowing what he was going to speak about. And he talked about divine health, do you remember? Not divine healing, but divine health, living in God's health, and the challenge to all of us to live a godly lifestyle. Do you not know? Have you not heard that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? And it's having an honor for our own bodies. And he encouraged us into, healthy eating and activity in our lives, so that we're not sitting around on our butts, as Jimma would say. And you sort of think, well, how does that go with seek first the peace and prosperity of this city? And I'll tell you how it goes. Because as we're seeking the peace and prosperity of this town, and this is from wherever you're from, God is moving. But God wants to move all the time. It's not a move of God that we really need. What we need is a move of God's people. And I tell you, if you really have a heart to see people saved, you're going to see it. If you have a heart to see people healed, you're going to see it. If you have a heart to see this community restored, you're going to see it. But the challenge came with Nigel's talk, Dr. Fraser's talk, because we're going to have to be fit to actually meet the demands of what God wants us to do. That's the reality of it. It doesn't matter whether we're 35, 45, 65 or 75, we're going to be busy. There's no retirement in the kingdom. In fact, retirement from worldly work is just an opportunity to get on with the kingdom work properly. It's just God giving you support through pensions and schemes to enable you to give more time to serve him. You know, and he gave us that talk. And then last week, Brian came and he talked about compassion. Because the heart to see our towns changed, our region changed, comes from a heart of compassion. You can't do it because you must do it. It comes because God has given you compassion. And the wonderful thing is, from what Brian was saying, he made it clear to us that God has placed compassion in us. It's not something we're waiting for, it's there. It's just something we can tap into if we choose to. But quite often, the reason we don't, we will say things like, well, I don't really care about people being saved. I know that's not, yes, well, you do if you tap into it in here. It's just that you're choosing to ignore what God has already put in you. And as soon as you start taking the stopper off the compassion bottle, you need to be fit because you're going to be busy. And then this morning, with what Gemma's been saying, it just all fits in, doesn't it? The need, if we really want to see people saved, we're going to have to be lived like Jesus lived. We're going to have to be servants. And it's not this morning a sort of a victory, whoop, whoop, whoop meeting in the sense of everybody coming, going on a high. But I think this morning, through what Jem said and through what God has been saying over the past few weeks, is a determination arising within us that we will see revival in our town, because God has placed us here to see that. And we're not moving until we see it. You know, it doesn't come from an emotional woohoo. It comes from people who are determined. The verse that kept going through my mind as Jem was speaking today was one that I think that quite often we ignore, or we just dismiss as one of those sayings of Jesus without really thinking too much about it. But it was the time he said that he who would seek to save his own life will lose it. But he who lays down his life for me will gain it or save it. And I was thinking, you know, that's we often use that. We get out of it by thinking it's for people who are not Christians yet. But I reckon it's for the Christians. And everything we try to grab hold of for ourselves, if we're trying to make things good for ourselves, ultimately we'll end up losing everything. The more we try and grab hold of, the more we will lose. But the more we surrender, the more we will gain. You'll get the good stuff. Because Jesus says, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. But if we seek those things, we'll lose even those things. And we'll come to an end of a life and feel like it's been fruitless, and that you haven't lived out the fullness of what God had for you. So what God has been doing quite quietly over the past 4 weeks is speaking to us directly, quietly, because he wants us to finish the race. And his heart for a move of God in Scarborough is vastly more powerful and passionate than ours could ever be. His desire to see Yorkshire turned upside down for Jesus is far more powerful. You know, he wants to see Leeds living for God. He wants to see Bradford jumping up and down for joy for Jesus. He wants to see Sheffield on fire. Never guess you were from Sheffield. You know, the great thing about being in Yorkshire is it's a big county. There's a lot of people that God wants to change. And we might be here on the top corner of it. And that's because God's doing a quiet work that's going to change the region. Just as he did in Bethlehem. A tiny little baby being born in an insignificant stable in an insignificant village that would turn a world upside down. And here in Scarborough, God's getting ready to turn upside down. But he's looking for a people who are willing to serve, who have a heart of compassion, who are willing to pay the cost in terms of, I can't eat that because I've got to be healthy for what God's got me to do. I'm going to have to take some exercise. I mean, this is so practical. Can't believe we're doing this. I'm going to have to take some exercise because what God wants me to serve in, I won't be able to do it. It will be beyond my physical capacity unless I'm ready. And you don't think, please, oh, I'm 70, that means I'm out of it. No, God has exactly what he has for you, but he has it for you as a fit and able person. And whether that's divine health or divine healing, it's all part of the same plan. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That was a powerful word this morning, Jem. I don't know if you realized it, but you spoke from your heart. Grabbed us. Had an unusual August, sort of holiday month normally, and yet this August it's like God's been here every week, just quietly disseminating his glory and his passion for this town and for this region so that we'll catch it. It's our third birthday soon as a church here in Scarborough, isn't it? And the third year is the year of the vineyards, if you remember. And planting vineyards is busy work. It's hard work. God will be preparing you and speaking to you and giving you visions and ideas for ministries and ways of serving. Don't put it to one side. Share it with your life team leaders. Share it with the pastoral team. Share it with me. Share it with whoever you need to and pray it through. But don't let it go. Didn't play our vision this morning, but it starts off as we're a church that dares to dream. Dream big, because God's big. It's amazing. A bunch of foolish, insignificant people that we are. Aren't we? In a fairly insignificant town. But not when God's around. God's around, there's purpose and destiny, salvation, healings, excitement, joy, passion. Oh! I'm just going to ask Elka to play on for a little bit. Perhaps a little bit more jolly than that. Because I just want us to stand for a couple of minutes and just stand in God's presence and ask the Lord to put right in you whatever needs to be put right. You know, if you feel that you've not got the compassion, if you feel like you've never wanted to really serve, if you know that you've been trying to hold part of your lives to yourself, and actually if you hold on to your life you're going to lose it, but be prepared to lay down everything this morning and let God's life come in fulfillment in you. You know, Jem said she'd never seen anybody raised from the dead. Well, we've got to start praying for the dead then. Maybe you've never seen anybody healed. But how many sick people have you prayed for? We've just got to start doing it. and we'll be tapping into a well that will begin to flow and flow and flow and flow and flow. Because that's the age we're living in. So I'm going to be quiet, and you just spend a couple of minutes. Maybe it's that original call to pray and seek the prosperity of this town. Maybe it's the divine health of Dr. Fraser. Maybe it's the compassion that Brian Ward spoke about. Or maybe it's the willingness to serve 100% and excellently that Gemma has spoken about this morning. But you just put those four things before God and say, Lord, change me. Change me, make me like Jesus. So I'm going to stop speaking and Elka's going to play. And we'll just do that for a couple of minutes and then we will take up our offering before we close.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.